Welcome to the Speak Pact Podcast, where high-performing speakers and the producers who hire them merge to give you the insider secrets to the lucrative speaking industry. Antoniette Rose, your podcast host and celebrated speaker agent, unveils insider success strategies. Discover a nexus of thought leaders and bookers, maximizing your potential in each and every episode. Your ticket to ultimate speaking success begins right here. Catch the transformative insights waiting for you on the Speak Pact Podcast, hosted by the industry powerhouse herself, Antoniette Rose.
Welcome back to Speak Pact. I am super excited to introduce to you an OG when it comes to getting your voice out there and really making the most of it. She is the host of the Leverage Your Podcast show, but she has been in the world of podcast producing and publishing podcasts for 10 plus years. And she also knows not just how to publish the show, but also how to leverage them in a really big way to get your voice and your message and your brand out there. So we're going to dive deep into a lot of those different areas today. Welcome to the show, Lindsay Phillips.
Thanks. It's nice to be on your show. I loved having you on mine not long ago. I just love chatting with you.
Yes. So definitely go to the Leverage Your Podcast show and see all of her amazing shows, right? But ours especially, because we really dove in to some subject matter that I haven't, you're a really great host. You know how to draw things out that I haven't publicly shared. So on a regular basis. So definitely go on over to Lindsay's show and check out that episode. I think it was two or three weeks ago. Has it aired? Do I know?
I know. I'm just trying to remember. You're catching me off guard here. I think it's live like next week, actually, or the week after. It's coming up really soon. So probably we might even go live at the same time.
Yes. So by the time this one airs, yeah, I'm sure it'll be up there. All right. So what attracted you in all the different ways that you can communicate and get your voice out there? What drew you to the platform of podcasts?
My unofficial answer here is that video made me so nervous. I felt so like I clammed up. And back then it was literally just audio. So no one really did the video version of it, right? So I didn't even have video on when I had the interviews. It was just literally listening to the other person. So I just kind of felt like it was so much easier to do. But I also, of course, loved that it gets in front of so many people easily and it's easy to consume. And you can really get a feel for people's personality. You can just get tips so easily. And you really feel like you get to know people through that avenue versus kind of like the traditional blogs back in the day.
Yes. Okay. So I love that you said that, because as somebody who represents speakers, right, I'm always encouraging that you go to where your perfect fit audience gathers like grapes, right? There is no better platform than a podcast. People go to a podcast to get information on a very specific subject matter. What better place? Like, what other opportunity do you have to go right to an audience that is there for your information? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could run ads. You don't know who's getting the ads, really, right? You can even go speak at an event, and there's going to be a whole mix of different people with different needs and desires. But when you go to a podcast and you're speaking on a topic, the people who listen in are the ones who were attracted by the title, mm-hmm, and want the information you're about to share. I don't know of any other platform that's quite as powerful as that.
And it's crazy how niche you can get when you stop and look what podcasts are out there. It blows my mind. It really does. And so niching, and I've niched down. My first podcast was just about like growing a business. And then even the one after that, I niche down and niche down with my podcast. And it's just, I think it's easier to attract your ideal client that way.
Yes. And by the way, I don't know why, I mean, you're such a natural now, but I can't imagine you ever having been shy in front of the camera. You've got this gorgeous red hair, amazing smile, like all the things that would make somebody proud to be in front of the camera. So I'm glad that you're over that and you're in front of the camera now.
Yeah. It took many years.
One step at a time, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So that's really for, that's a really great message for speakers in general. Another great reason why to leverage podcasts, because maybe you are a little bit shy in front of the camera. Maybe you don't necessarily want to get on a big stage just yet. Take that first step, that first bite of the elephant by getting on podcasts, finding your voice, getting to the place where your message just kind of flows and you're not constantly searching for your thoughts. And as you become confident in that, it's a much, much easier to take that second step, that second bite of the elephant and step on to a smaller stage and then a bigger stage and a bigger stage. So it's definitely it's a huge bridge, but I don't want to pigeonhole it as just a bridge. It's also an end in itself in that it's just such a powerful tool on its own.
Very. And I just see it as like I'm having a conversation with you, Antoinette. It's like I am not talking to like a sea of people. I don't see the audience, so they don't make me nervous. It's like literally I'm just having a conversation with you.
Oh gosh, you just okay, this is what I train my parents, my speakers also. When you could be speaking in front of 5,000 people, but if you know that one person who you know you've transformed their lives, like it's somebody that you've worked with in the past, that's the face you see when you look in the audience. You're speaking to that one person. Because if you've transformed their life, then you can transform the lives of all those others who are in that same place in their mind or in the seasons of their own journey that are going to just latch on and think, did she or he read my diary? Like, how do they know this about me? They definitely understand what I'm going through and the answers that, and you know what? Another thing is there's been all kinds of studies on this. And I have a speaker that actually speaks specifically on this, but it's scientifically proven that when you are helping another person, anxiety slips away. You can't be in the state of thinking of yourself, which anxiety is, right? Yeah. You're thinking of yourself when you are serving someone else. So what better way?
That's a great point. That's so true.
Tell me a little bit about, so you don't stop at just the podcast episode, which is something I really find fascinating. I love to follow the way that you do this, is you utilize that, you leverage the name of your podcast, leverage your podcast show, right? You leverage it in so many powerful ways. Tell me a little bit about how you utilize it in your social media profiles, your website, how you utilize it to boost your authority, but also to actually open up other speaking opportunities or other business opportunities.
I know. It's so funny. It's like so many people that guest on a podcast, they do the interview, but they almost expect the host to do all the heavy lifting for them. They wait for it to go live. And then when it does, like they'll get tagged and they'll comment and they might share it. Maybe they'll do a post on social media, but then they sort of feel like that's it. And then they're wondering why they're not getting, you know, the results from it. Whereas you want to take that control back, you know, be in control of how you're being positioned, how you're sharing it, where you're sharing it. And you want to make sure that you're getting as much bang for your buck, so to speak. I'll share a few little tips. One of them is publishing it on your website. So you may have a blog, even if you have your own podcast, you may have your episodes. I hope you have your episodes on like a blog post so that when someone's going to your website, sure, you might have a speaker page, but if they go to your blog post, your content, and they see that you've been on all of these shows, instant credibility. And when they hear you or see you, if it's a video in there, talking about your area of expertise and what you have to share, they can better picture what it's going to be like if you were on their show or you were on their stage. So they can already tick off a box in their head. Yep, they know what they're talking about. Yep, they've spoken before. I don't have to like teach them. I don't have to worry that they're, you know, not going to come across or present very well on stage. So you automatically tick off those boxes for the people that are searching for speakers and podcast guests. The other element is also showcasing it on your social media profiles that you are a guest expert. You know, people put author, speaker. If you're not speaking on stages yet, you can definitely put guest expert so that in your bio or in your tagline that's right in your LinkedIn profile, as an example, you can put that you're a guest expert. And so when people are going to your profile, they're like, oh, they guest on podcasts. They know it right away. They don't have to dig. They don't have to look into your posts. They automatically know. And then, you know, that section on your profile, it's a little lower down. It's called featured or featured article. So you can actually feature one of the shows that you've been on. Maybe it's a higher profile one, whether it's your blog that you share or you know, whatever link it is, but you're going to showcase that you guest on a podcast. So when they're skimming through your profile, they automatically know in a couple of places that you guest on podcasts. So again, it's just boosting that credibility. And then when people see that, they're like, ooh, maybe they can be a guest on my show.
I don't even do that. Yeah. You would think I would know better. Yeah, I love that tip.
So many little things, right? But yeah, you want people to know that you guest on shows, that you have an area of expertise, that you are an authority so that you do get more opportunities. So just a couple of tips.
Brilliant. No, those are really brilliant and so simple, right? Even our assistants can do that. That none of that takes a tremendous amount of time. And I think it's also respectful to the host that brought you into their world and basically third party verified you, right? You're helping to get the word out with
give
their
them
show.
Backlinks, especially if you are putting it as a blog post on your site. And like I do embed the audio because I have a back hack for that, but I can also embed the video. But I do link to the host and their website and their iTunes and so forth. And if they don't create show notes that are kind of like meaty or have timestamps or bullets, I create my own and put them on there. And sometimes I'll even create my own image so that it's my brand that's being represented. So there's all sorts of like, you know, little extra tricks that you can do to get the most results out of it.
Okay. So that's social media and profiles. Is there a way that you distribute and publish your podcast guest interviews? Mm-hmm. So, right. Podcasts go about two ways. Yeah. In our world, we call them in or out. So this is an in interview. That is, you're coming into my space and I'm interviewing you. And then there's out interviews. When I went and interviewed on your show, that we call that an out interview. And there's a whole process that it's not just one and done. Like I did the podcast, just like what you're sharing. Golly, that's a month's worth of content if you really do it right. Right? For your social media posts, for your email nurturing system funnels, all of the different things. But also I want to make sure that for my out interviews that I'm giving you the thanks that you deserve with those backlinks, with also doing my part in making sure that I promote on my side too. I'm not just sitting back and waiting for you. First of all, you're not doing anybody any good service, not your audience, not yourself, or not the host. If the quickest way to be recommended by a podcast host or invited back is to show that active promotional side. They're not asking you to do that. Usually it's not a requirement, but sure is nice, right? Are you going to be quicker to promote somebody who does that? But on the other side, when you go to publish and produce, distribute your podcast guest interviews? How do you increase the visibility of those so that you as the producer are also maximizing the unrenewable resource of your time, right? And converting those into viable leads, maybe to attract more people to your show, maybe to sell the service that is the reason behind your show, which we're going to get into yours here in a moment. What are some of the things that you do on that side of things?
For sure. So obviously publishing it on my website is kind of like that foundational piece. And then, so when I do share the episode, I'm pointing traffic back to my site because there are call to actions on the sidebar for different lead magnets that I have. A lot of people actually, which still surprises me, that their blog posts on their website, that they don't have any call to actions. It's full width, so they don't even have the sidebars. And you can even take advantage of the real estate that's within the blog. Don't be afraid to have an image that breaks up some of the text that is a call to action to one of your resources or program or masterclass that you have, having a call to action at the bottom. So that is kind of like one piece of the puzzle. The other is distributing everywhere. So I will do a LinkedIn article. I have a LinkedIn newsletter. So people that subscribe to it do get notified whenever there's a new episode. So that way you're like in their face more, which is awesome. And then when anyone follows you that's new, they get an invite to that newsletter. Again, another way for them to, you know, see you and get noticed all the time. And then email your list. It's funny how many people will not email their list that this episode went live when you're nurturing your list, but you're also showcasing again your authority that you're like a go-to trusted industry leader. And just another reason to like reach out and don't be afraid to have a call to action in the PS at the bottom of the email or, you know, invite them to get on a call with you. That's really important. And then just making sure that you're using the content in all avenues. And I'll give you a few different ways. So when I get the episode, I strip out little sound bites. So obviously I know my own talk, I know my own topic, I know what little nuggets will be appealing or not. And so it's easy for me to go through. So I will create small square videos for like LinkedIn and Facebook. I will create reels and YouTube shorts. And sometimes depending on the content, I will even create a carousel. Like if you have three ways to blah, 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 or like my four steps of my podcast leverage system. So I can easily create a carousel for LinkedIn or wherever, because they're super hot and you can have a call to action at the end of it, which is always good. And so it's just a way of like multiplying that content. I've got it. I've got that long form piece of content, hopefully in video, but you can always make audiograms if not. And then, just create all those little tiny bits and send them everywhere. And it's just an easy way of creating content that you don't have to create something new. And you could also showcase in those reels or the short videos, you can put the podcast art in the bottom corner and put featured on. So you're giving kudos to the host. You're giving them visibility for their podcast. But you're also showcasing that this little snippet came from that podcast that you guested on. So you're positioning yourself as an authority, giving that little piece of snippet of information. So like it's double duty.
Oh my goodness. I love everything you just said. And that is really the power of podcasting, right? That energy, the ROE, the return on your energy, your effort.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Is as far as you want to take it. There's so much value in leveraging that one podcast episode. And I know I work with speakers, right? And I have certain speakers who are like, it's not paid. It's not worth my time. It is paid. If done right, it's paid monetarily. Yes. But also done right, it's paid in quote unquote revenue that is far more valuable than maybe, you know, a host check done right. And if you really have the right mindset about it, you can throw out to me. I mean, you know, there's different merits to having a marketing and advertising budget. But if you don't, this is your best way to go, right? Is on podcasts. And you mentioned the LinkedIn newsletter. Now listen to everybody, Lindsay, because she not only knows how to do it, but she has done it herself. She's in the top 5%. The Leverager podcast is in the top 5% of millions of podcasts. There are millions of podcasts out there. Her listener score and her engagement, very, very high. That is not easy to achieve. It comes very intentionally. You're not going to haphazardly reach
and consistency.
Yes, consistency, but also all these different things that you're talking about. Once you have the automations in place and the systems in place, it is a little bit of effort, but it's not all consuming. Podcasters work very hard, but you know, you just work a little bit harder and you get tremendous, tremendous.
It's so much easier than creating something from scratch. And it's funny. I get a lot of guests that will say, but I only have a few talks, like topics. And so I say the same thing on all of the shows. So why would I keep sharing them? Because it's all the same thing. And I'm like, A, it's not going to be all the same thing. The questions that you get and how you answer it and the conversation that you have, you're not a robot. You're going to say it in a slightly different way. Yeah. But also on social, because the feed, it goes so fast and there's, you know, people are connected with lots of other people, they are not going to remember when it looks slightly different and it's said slightly different. They're not going to remember what they heard a month ago or 2 months ago. Yes. And people need to hear the same information over and over and over again. And then one day they'll be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yes. Or like, you know, I keep hearing that and like, yeah, it must be true. Do you know what I mean? So you can't worry about feeling like you're giving the same message over and over again. We all have our own area of expertise, especially if it's niched. So of course you're going to repeat your same method, your same strategy, your philosophy on that thing to help your, you know, prospects or ideal client. That's just the way it is. So you can't fear that like, oh, I don't want to put that on my website again because it's kind of the same content as a podcast I did, you know, 4 months ago. It just, that's a complete myth.
Brilliant. I'm very glad you brought this up because it's something I hear quite a bit with speakers and they do themselves a disservice by trying to make it new and fresh every time. You don't realize, like when you go to a Tony Robbins event, you'll go year after year and it's going to be the same UPW. Like it's going to be pretty much the same stuff. You go because of that, right? He's very specifically branded. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're creatures of habit, right? That's why people flock to him for that. You know, the people who need that, agreed, they flock to him for that. When we go to our favorite restaurants, right? We don't want the chef to get creative on our favorite dish. No. We want what we went to. That's our chops are set for that specific dish. If I order my ribeye steak that's made in such a way and they bring me it made completely differently because they were getting creative, I'd say, but this is not what I came for. Like I wanted the thing I came for. So what you brought up is so incredibly important. Establish your brand. Doesn't mean you can't step outside of that, but always snap back to that core brand because a confused mind isn't going to buy. And people don't remember what you said as much as they remember how you made them feel, how you inspired them, that's what they're coming for. You're exactly right, Lindsay. They, right after you talk, they may not be able to remember one line that you spoke, but they'll remember what you stirred in them. And that's what they're coming back for on a regular basis. So when you're all over the place, they don't know what to, you become unmemorable.
Yeah.
So I love, love, love that you brought that out. This is a little bit sideline, but I see you utilizing this in a really powerful way, and I'm hearing about it more and more. Can you explain how you couple your messaging through your podcast with that LinkedIn newsletter that more and more people are beginning to utilize, not only as a reader, as a partaker of the information I am, but also creating their own? What has that done for you? And is it worth the effort? And why did you start doing it?
I did it because I find LinkedIn, we're all professionals and we want to learn new things. We always want to improve. We want to know what other, you know, marketers are doing, right? Mm-hmm. And what's working and what's not. I guess entrepreneurs, we just always want to learn new things and better ourselves. And so for me, I quite often want to get into articles because it's more meaty. Like there's more stuff in it. And I also want to be reminded of things where it's like, I may not dive into someone's social media posts in LinkedIn. You know, sometimes it comes up on my feed, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes I'm in there. But if I get an email notification to say, oh, this person's newsletter just came out and it has like the article, then I will dive in. And you actually get an email notification. You don't just get a notification on LinkedIn. You get an email notification. I'm like, that is gold.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, and for me, it's like repurposing as well. Like I'm creating all this content on my blog post. Why am I not sharing it in LinkedIn as an article that showcases myself as an authority? But then I've got space to like add other call to actions, add my lead magnet in there. I'm actually about to rejig it slightly so that I don't have my whole blog in there, but I take out a couple snippets and just put like easy to consume tips. So you can mix it up. It can be like a weekly e-zine kind of a thing, right? Where it can be like your favorite tips that you use on social. It doesn't have to be a full article. It doesn't have to be the episode that just went live. It can be whatever you want it to be, and you can change it. It can be weekly. It can be biweekly, whatever it is. But the point is, it's just another way of giving content, another way of converting those leads and just sharing your expertise and getting like right in front of their faces instead of waiting for them to find you and reach out.
Yes. Another touch point, right? And it takes layering, where we're so inundated that it takes that layering. They see your podcast, they hear you on somebody else's podcast, they see your posts, and now they get this newsletter. It's just that next layer. We all consume differently.
So
I love that you're leveraging that.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how, because I'm sure you're pitched all day long, all week long, like you've got hundreds of pitches to be a guest on your show all the time. How do you sift it out and decide who you're going to feature on? I mean, you worked really hard for the ranking that you have. So just putting anybody on there isn't going to happen, right? How do you filter and sift between this is the guest that I'm going to feature versus writing others off?
I definitely take recommendations from other friends or people that have been on my show. They're like, you know, I think this person would make a great guest. I'm like, perfect. So those kind of recommendations are key. So I think too, even when you're guesting on a show, when you have someone on your show, don't be afraid to ask the other person, because there's always like, oh, what can I do to help you? Actually, I'm looking for a Pinterest expert. Do you know one that would make a great guest on my show? Whatever that would be, tap into who that other person knows. And then, and I offer too, I'm like, you know, I've had all these guests on my show, check out my podcast. If there's anyone there that would be great for your show, then let me know and I'll make an introduction. So, and it's that give and take, right? People remember those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I definitely always look at the one sheet. I like to know what their topics are. If someone pitches me and I don't know what their topics are, it's like, I'm not going to do the research on their website and try to figure it out. That's exhausting.
Yes.
I want to know exactly. And then once I know their topics, I'm like, okay, does that fit my audience? Does that help podcasters? Does that fit the mission of my podcast? So it has to, because I have been pitched all sorts of things. And I feel like, did you even like look at my show? Like, I don't serve e-commerce like at all.
Yes.
Oh, I just lost my earring. My other one. It's a good thing my hair's long.
Yeah, good thing you got all that voluptuous hair.
So it's like, it has to fit. It has to, I'm very astringent on what kind of topics I have on the show, because it has to relate to a podcaster that's hosting or guesting, and how can it better that part of their marketing?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Can I hop onto your, this is the huge peeve of mine, and I do not allow my speakers to speak on a physical stage or a podcast without having really dove in to definitely watch or listen to some of those podcast episodes, scan through who have been their guests, what have the topics been. Understand their audience. You can easily go to something like Listen Notes and see a little bit about who their audience is, what their focus is. Care enough about the fact that that host is basically third party verifying you, right? Trusting you with their audience, that you do that little bit of extra homework. Do not knock on their door. Because you're just mass knocking on doors. It's like knocking on somebody's door and say, hey, can I come have dinner? I don't know you. I know nothing about you. You know nothing about me, but I want to come in and have dinner with you. No, close the door, right? Whereas it could be obviously recommended as amazing. Your neighbor says, hey, this is a great person. You want to meet them? Great. That's a way to open the door. Another is, hey, you're my neighbor. I have this information that might be valuable for you. Welcome to the neighborhood. And just come in as somebody who cares about them and their platform. So incredibly important, whether it's an on-stage engagement, study the audience, even pull a few of the registered attendees if the host lets you. And then if it's a podcast, make sure as a speaker that you give that podcast, don't waste their time by pitching them. And those one sheets are still valid. If you are a speaker and you wonder, do I even need a one sheet? They are. But another really great use of your one sheet is they are generally in PDF format, right? So you can go in with the right software and tailor it to what matters to that podcaster. Whereas if you're relying just on your webpage, for that, it's a little bit more difficult to tailor that all of the time. Tailor it so that she or he is not wasting their time. They can skim through, see exactly what you're about, see what your topics are. Does it match their theme? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be of value to their audience? Take those extra steps. Those are going to go a lot further than just doing that blanket, unpersonalized outreach. So, and what a waste of your time, right? As a podcast host.
And knowing the format too, I've had people pitch and they're like, and I go back, I'm like, oh, what are your talk topics? And they're like, oh, I'll just talk about my podcast and my journey. I'm like, I'm not that kind of podcast. Like, I don't typically dive into people's journey and like how they created their podcast. I might touch upon it a little bit, but I'm very like, I want actionable steps for my listeners that will help them move the needle for them. So it's like the format of the podcast, you also need to know that as well.
Yes, great point. I have one of my speakers in particular has his own podcast, and he just talks. He doesn't bring on outside guests. He's starting to step into that realm a little bit, but it's rare. If you know anything about his podcast, you know it's him speaking. So you pitch somebody like that. You're like, I want to be a guest on your podcast that has no guests.
I know, right?
That is not that. That's just like a telltale sign that I don't give a heck about you. It's just all about me.
Yep.
So I love that you said that. I at this point in the show, I know that there are a good number of people that are going to want to know more about you. We've mentioned your podcast. Maybe share a little bit about that, an easy way to get there so they can subscribe on their favorite platform. But also, you have some pretty amazing consultancy services and other ways that you help people get their voice out there and get their visibility out there. So share a little bit about that. How can you help me become more visible and get to the next level in my career?
You bet. Well, first, my podcast, you can go to leverageyourpodcastshow.com or search up the Leverage Your Podcast Show on whichever directory. And for my site, it's Smooth Business Podcasting. And yeah, we help people leverage and repurpose their content in all different ways to help just exactly what we were talking about, all the reels, all those good pieces of content. And we do it in a way that makes sure that they are getting more leads and clients from it. So we use it to push traffic to their website, but also their lead magnets and their services, so that they are increasing conversion as well. So yeah, and there's some free resources there they're welcome to grab.
Yeah, so look her up. And listen, in the age of AI, the best gift you can give to any content creator, especially podcasters, is commenting and interacting in the comments. Those mean more. I mean, we want your likes, we want your subscribes.
Yeah.
All of that is massively important. But actually what AI looks for is the engagement. And you can really just, it takes a split second, right, to just say something that you got that was of value in the content inside the comments.
Yeah.
And that really goes a long way. Yes.
Yeah. It always makes me feel good when you hear someone was like, oh, that was super helpful, or that was a great idea, or whatever. I'm like, yay.
Yes. Because podcasting is more work than most people realize. And you put a lot of yourself out there to serve, really. I mean, most podcasts, even the top ones like yours, are not well, they're not. You don't necessarily do it for the revenue it brings in. It brings in other kinds of revenue. Yeah. Yes, you can earn some, but if you really measure it down to what you're getting paid per hour, it's like, I could probably go to McDonald's to get that.
It is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. We love it, right? But the currency that you can really give us are those comments and that feedback. That means so much. It's like, okay, I can keep doing this. Yeah. So tell me before we start to close, what makes you feel like that was really a great guest? I would have them back in a heartbeat versus, I'm glad that interview is over. I don't even know if I want to post it.
I think someone that I have a connection with, like, I just feel like I could totally go have a cup of coffee with you somewhere or have a beer somewhere. Or there's just that genuine authenticity of the other person that you want to see them again. I think that feeling for me, I feel good about afterwards. But from a marketing perspective, if you will, I love when the guest is very focused on what they know and what they want to share. So there are absolute takeaways and sound bites that a listener will be able to take and run with. And it's funny, when I record episodes, my brain is like, ooh, that's a good sound bite. Oh, that'll make a good reel. That's just how my brain works. But yeah, when I know that there are like concrete tips that someone can take away, then I'm like, that's great. That's all I want.
Yes. Okay. And on the flip side, What is, I'm sure you've had them. I'm definitely not going to invite them back, and I'm not 100% sure I want to run this episode.
Ooh, I've had like one where I was like, I really don't want to post it, but I did. It's when I'm asking questions and I get very vague answers. Mm. So it's like pulling teeth, right? To get like an answer, or they agree with something I said. Yeah, that's about right. Yep. And then, oh, just do this. And so it's not, I'm like, you got to give me more.
Yeah,
I need something to sink my teeth into. Or they're just very quick answers instead of having like a conversation.
Okay.
And that I find that really hard to release. But I mean, for the most part, I really vet the people that are guesting on my shows. Again, I look at their site. Have they been on other shows? What do they sound like? Are they flat, right? Like personality wise. And I have had some people where I'm like, I'm sure they're great on shows. I'm sure they know their stuff up, you know, and down, but I just don't think our personalities will jive. And I think I'll have a hard time with it. So I don't. So doing that back end work is really important.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I heard this funny story from one of my speakers who also has a podcast, and he had a guest. This is a different one than what I was speaking about before. He had a guest on, and every time he would ask a question, the guest would say, well, it's in the book. What's in the book? He actually shut the podcast down. He said, I just don't think this is going to work.
Oh, wow.
Let's just pass, because he would not give of himself. No. Podcasting is about serving. Give of your best content, right? You cannot outgive. It's that spirit of abundance, right? Versus the spirit of lack. The more you give, the more people will be attracted to you. And just because I heard it once on a show, there's all kinds of steps that need to happen for them to actually implement it. So
absolutely
never walk in that scarcity mentality. Serve, don't sell. I think that's probably one of the things that if somebody's selling their service all the way through, that starts feeling icky, because I don't want it to feel like an advertisement. I want it to feel like you and I are having coffee, having a conversation, and bringing in my audience to do that.
Yeah.
On the flip side, though, when you are podcasting, right, all the way through, I have seeded, like, I know that I'm introducing you for the very first time to Lindsay Phillips. I want you to know her. I wouldn't have her on this show if I didn't feel like she really brought value to this space. So I'm seeding your show from the beginning all the way through. I would hopefully venture to believe that not one person feels like I have been selling all the way through. I've also seeded your service all the way through. It's okay to do that, even if you're the guest.
Absolutely.
Now, I know this might be overwhelming. I do have ways that I can serve you in that way, if that's ever a conversation you want to have, but here are the steps. You know, it's okay to do that. But when you're saying, read the book or buy my service, and you'll learn, that's a whole different spirit.
Agreed. Yeah, that's not my jam.
And real podcast guests, right? Well, guest experts, they understand that. Every now and then you come across someone who's just such a self-promoter. Oh, this is what I don't like as well. Tell me how you feel about this, because I'm about ready to maybe add it to my do's and don'ts for the pre-interview stuff, is when people come with like those digital backgrounds with all of their logos and their websites all over, like, do you allow that? I've had it happen a couple of times. I'm like, I don't like that.
I don't know what to think. I find it, I've only had that come up once, and there were like pictures on the background kind of a thing, but it was like two, so it wasn't horrendous. I find it distracting just for me. I don't mind when there's like a logo, you know, or a background that's like their branding, like that doesn't bother me, but I don't want it to be like a sales pitch that surrounds their head.
Yes. Well, it kind of goes back to you and me sitting down and having coffee and connecting. I'm not going to be wearing a billboard on my head. That's what it feels like to me. I don't mind if your book is sitting in the background.
Yeah.
Like that's totally natural and great. But yeah, I don't love it. I know some podcasters actually preach doing that. It's just a gut thing. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Well, we've had an amazing conversation. I hope you've been taking notes as the listener here on the Speak Pack show, because there's been some transformative gems. If you will just implement some of those gems, you'll see a difference. Make sure to follow Lindsay's newsletter, subscribe to her podcast, link up with her on LinkedIn, implement some of these amazing, hard-earned strategies that she's given you, and you will see a difference. As we close, Lindsay, I have one last question that I ask at the end of my show. It's our signature question, because I believe that you can take in information, but until you really begin implementing it, it's not going to become your own, and it's really not going to move the needle for you. So I'll ask each of my guest experts to leave our audience with some sort of directive, because we're all here. This is Speak Pact. We want to utilize our voices to make a bigger impact. What is maybe a challenge or some way that might move the needle for my audience members should they actually practice this piece of advice that you give?
You bet. I think that often we shy away from adding call to actions to our social media. So we'll have a quote, a tip, a video, but then just kind of leave things as it is. Whereas if you start putting more call to actions in your social posts, they don't have to be salesy. It can be, oh, by the way, you can extend this and I have a free resource. I'll put the information below. Or put hashtag, I don't know, joy below and let's have a chat and I can do this for you. Or it can be anything, honestly, but it just let it feel like a natural segue. And then you can put the information below, like in the first comment. But don't be afraid to put call to actions in any of your content, any of it. If you've got a little quote or a reel or anything, call to action.
Yes. Okay. Never assume the next step. Never assume that the audience member, whoever it might be, understands what we're all distracted. We've got a lot of things coming.
Yeah.
We're coming to this space, whether it's your newsletter, your podcast, whatever it is, because we want directions, right? We want to be told
what's next?
The next step. Such perfect, right? Call to action.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes. Perfect way to close. Thank you so much for being with us today, Lindsay. You are a delight. I am a big fan of your show. And I so appreciate the time you've given us today.
Thanks. I always love chatting with you.
Ciao, ciao for now. We'll see you all soon.
Thank you for listening to the Speak Pact podcast. To become a recommended speaker of Antoniette's WPC Speaker Agency, or you are a host or planner looking for a dynamic expert in optimized performance, Antoniette would like to personally meet with you. Secure a time with her at speakerbooker.com. Again, that is speakerbooker.com. It all begins with a vision, a voice, and a pact to impact. Join the Speak Pact movement by joining our new private Facebook group at the link in our show notes. Find us on nearly every social media platform at One Antoniette. That's number one, Antoniette, or simply hashtag Speak Pact.